challenges that we face. You know, we are blessed to be here amid the COVID, amid the dust all the way from Africa. All right, we are here and we are thankful to the Almighty God. We appreciate always when prayer is made at the start of worship and before I get up here, and for the prayer to include praying for the teacher, that he'll remember what he has prepared himself to say. And we want to diminish self as we proclaim from the Word of God. We continue our study from the book of Revelation, the faithful witness. And in the first lesson, we highlighted that nested in this wonderful book of Revelation, this book that bears within it the message of victory that the child of God can indeed overcome and conquer the evil one, Satan, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Nested in this book, we find in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 that the writer John says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." But the phrase and the term that we have zeroed in on is that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. We took time at the last study to highlight the concept of both faithful and witness. And we will recall, and I'll summarize in brief, that the concept of witness is one who declares what he has seen, what he hears, and what he knows. And the idea of faithfulness or faithful is that what is said, what is communicated, can be trusted, is reliable, and is dependable. So when we put this together, we recognize that to have a faithful witness is an awesome thing. And even in our society, if we find ourselves in trouble, and the only way to get off that trouble is to have a witness, we want to know that the person that we are calling on is not just a person who will declare something that they have seen, heard, or know, but we want to know that they can be trusted, that they are a reliable and a dependable witness. And in Jesus Christ, the only one who has really witnessed and seen God is faithful. He is faithful. And so today we want to, while we have looked at the fact that there are other things faithful, and we really didn't get into the fact that God himself is faithful. That means he is dependable and reliable, even though we had looked at the fact that he is a witness and we call upon him as a witness, as a record. But we want to focus our lesson today on the fact that Jesus Christ is our faithful witness. And want to explore the implications of this. What is the implication of Christ being the faithful witness? And by extension, the fact that Jesus Christ is our faithful witness, it pulls on us as Christians, as little Christs, as followers of Christ, as those who pursue to be Christ-like, that we too need to be witnesses, that we too need to be faithful, dependable, trustworthy, reliable in being witnesses for Jesus Christ. In today's lesson in particular, we'll be looking at the fact that Christ is a faithful witness in his teaching. At another time, we will look at the fact that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness in his manner of life. But for today, we are looking at Christ, the faithful witness in his teaching. And in John chapter 14, verse 2, well, you can start reading at verse 1. So in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, Christ makes a declaration. Read.
When therefore the Lord knew, or the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made...
St. John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2.
Let not your heart be troubled.
So let not your heart be troubled.
He believe in God.
Ye believe in God.
Believe also in me.
Believe also in me.
In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes.
If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Mm-hmm. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen. Thanks for that. So we see here that Jesus Christ declares that we can depend on him. You know, he says, you know, I have gone to prepare a place for you. Isn't this a grand assurance? In my Father's house are many mansions. And then he says, if it wasn't so, if it were not so, I would have told you. In that statement, Jesus Christ is echoing the truth that he is faithful. Jesus Christ is echoing the truth that he is dependable. Jesus Christ is saying that I am reliable. And in that statement, he's saying, I have gone to prepare a place for you. This is grand assurance to us as his children, because we are serving a God that made provision to save us. And it's not just that he would have saved us from ourselves and our destruction, but he's gone to prepare a place for us. Heaven can be a reality. You know, it's almost like, well, we have been hearing it in the media, how persons have been locked up for how many years, not even gone to court. And we see now a move for persons who did not get trial and whatever to get out of jail, to get out of the prison system. And I listened to at least one. And there was, the family seemed to be so excited over the fact that the person is home. Just excited about the fact that the person is no longer in prison. Here Jesus Christ and God is saying to us, not only is it that I have made provision that you will not suffer eternal destruction like the angels, but I am going to give you a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. Even that concept, you know, it's sort of hard to fathom. Because we look at a house as we normally live in houses. And then we look at somewhere else and we say, whoa, that's a big house. You know, and we call that the mansion. But here, the promise that is being made is that in God's house, there are many mansions. And so not only is it that we would have escaped the death and the anguish and the pain and the agony that we deserve because of our sins, but now we are being assured that there is a mansion for all of us if we but serve and please Him. But Jesus says, I am saying this to you, and you can trust it, because I am faithful. So he joins in the words of John, who declares that Jesus Christ is the witness. But not just the witness, but the faithful witness. And he says, you can depend on me, because if it wasn't so, I would have told you. And so Jesus Christ makes that claim that he is faithful. He is the faithful witness. You know, in John chapter 8 that we read as our text, and read eloquently, we see John echoing and documenting the claim about Jesus Christ. And if we pick up at verse 26 of St. John chapter 8.
I have many things to say and to judge of.
I have many things to say
and to judge of you.
Right, read.
But he that sent me is true.
But he that sent me is true. You know, so that's a part of the lesson that we haven't delved into. But the fact that God is true. And in that, we are saying that God the Father is also faithful. But read.
And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
And I speak to the world those things that I have
heard of him.
Hold there a second for me. Remember what we said about Jesus, well, about a witness and who is a witness? We said that the witness will proclaim and will declare what he has heard, what he sees, and what he knows. And we are saying now that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. John is documenting this, and he start reading that verse to me again.
I have many things to say.
I have many things to declare, because the witness must be prepared to declare. You know, let me step out of my lesson a little bit. One of the things said about us, and you know, we pray that the crime situation will improve, will get better. But when you listen to the police and those responsible, one of the things that we are criticized for as a nation is that we, as a country, we are not good witnesses. So we will hear something, see something, and know something, but we fail to declare. For whatever reason, fear, what would have seen our experience. But many criminals get away because the witnesses fail to declare. So let's start reading again. Same verse.
I have many things to say and to judge of you.
So I have many things to say and to judge of you.
But he that sent me is true.
He that sent me is true.
And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
These that I have heard of him. You see, this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus is saying that I have things to say. I have things to declare, things that I have heard, and I'm going to declare it. Jump down to verse 40.
But now he seeks to kill me.
Now you seek to kill me.
A man that has told me you the truth, which I have heard of God.
Which I have heard of God. What are we establishing? We are establishing that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. You know, he's in fact the only true witness. And what he's saying is that I am declaring what I have heard, qualifying him as a good witness. But not only that, go back up to verse 28.
Then Jesus said unto them,
yes,
when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself.
I do nothing of myself.
But as my Father has taught me,
as my Father has taught me,
I speak these things.
I speak these things. I speak these things. You know, when I speak these things, I'm declaring it. But notice, he only declares those things that he knows. What is in it? What is in this verse, this passage that is telling us that Jesus Christ knows? The things that he has been taught. What Jesus Christ is saying here is that I am not declaring anything that God my Father has not taught me. And so Jesus Christ is saying that I know because God has taught me. So he's saying, I am in fact the faithful witness. I am a witness because not only do I hear and therefore declare, but I am declaring because I know. How do I know? I know because my Father has taught me. And so we see that Jesus Christ is indeed a very good witness. And he has declared that he is faithful. So he is the faithful witness. You know, again, let me refer to the court system. Sometimes you watch court movies. I've always said that I'm going to one day when I have time from work, I'm just going to go and sit at a court session, all right, to just have that experience, all right. Many persons have had an opportunity that I've been sort of longing for and I've not gotten it, you know, called to be a jury, you know. I'm on the voters list, but they just always drop my name, all right, all right. You know, I'm just a little fascinated about the court scene, all right? But I can only refer to the movies. But sometimes you will see the lawyer call as a witness somebody who did not see or hear anything concerning the matter. How can such a person be deemed to be a witness? And they usually call that person an expert witness. An expert witness because this witness knows how things operate. Because they have been schooled a particular way. They have been taught a particular way. So they would probably be called just to say, is this thing possible because of the science of things? So they become an expert witness. I'm here saying that Jesus Christ is also an expert witness because he has been taught at the feet of his Father. And so Jesus Christ is indeed a wonderful witness. But he's not just an expert witness, he's a first-hand witness, because the things that he has seen, he has declared. The things that he knows, he has declared. But not only that, Jesus Christ, having seen and hears and knows, he speaks up. You know, we saw that in verse 28. Let's have 28 read again. And verse 38.
Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he.
Yes.
And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught
as
me.
As my Father has taught me.
I speak
these things.
I speak that which I have seen with my Father.
You are at verse 38.
Yes.
I declare that which I have
seen.
Oh Lord. See there? The third one. So not only is he speaking and declaring what he hears and what he knows, but also what he sees. So Jesus Christ, you know, sometimes we call a witness and we can only call them for one thing. But here Jesus Christ can speak and declare what he has heard, what he has seen, and what he knows, because he has been taught. So Jesus Christ is indeed our faithful witness. He's faithful. He has claimed that. If it were not so, he says, I would have told you. You can trust me. And so when he comes and says that the only thing he has spoken and declared is what he really saw, what he has heard, and what he knows, we can trust him. We can rely on him. We can depend on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ could be depended on to dispel critics and skeptics. Because what did we say we're doing again? In this aspect of the lesson, we are looking at the fact that Jesus Christ is our faithful witness, but that he was faithful in what he taught, in what he teaches. And what we see is that Jesus Christ, in an era where persons would have questioned things even about the God the Father, and the Holy Scriptures, Jesus Christ time and again would dispel the critics and the skeptics. And can I tell you that we still have the skeptics today? We still have the critics today. As followers of Christ, like Christ, we must be prepared to dispel, to defend. We must be faithful. We must be dependable. We must be God's reliable servant in dispelling critics. Persons who would tell us that Christianity is foolishness, God is foolishness. Now, as it is today, it was really not much different in the days of Christ. Jesus Christ found himself, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, found himself in a situation where he would have had to face persons who were critical about practices, and he would defend what is being, or what God says, or what Scripture had to say. I'm going to pick out about four or five things that in Jesus' ministry, as he sojourned among us, that he took time out to confirm and to declare that he believes this. And where I'm going with this aspect of the lesson is that we have to be ready always to give an answer of the faith that we hold on to, just as Christ did, just as Christ, the faithful witness, did. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, it reads,
"And he answered and said unto them."
So he answered and said unto, it was the Pharisees and the scribes, I believe, who were questioning about marriage and so forth. But Jesus Christ echoed a truth that even today we are bombarded with this. What did it say?
"Have ye not read?"
Have ye not read?
"That he which made them at the beginning."
That he which made them at the beginning.
"Made them male and female."
Made them male and female. You see, when it comes down to marriage, we have to go stand up strong in the years to come, you know, right here. That when we're talking about marriage, we have to stand up strong and says, as far as God is concerned, when it comes to marriage, male and female. Not male and male, not female and female, but male and male. Christ declared this. The faithful witness declared this. I said something wrong a while ago? Okay. All right. Let me make sure I fix this, you know. Worse like how this is being recorded. All right. Let's go again. The faithful witness, Jesus Christ, declares that God made them male and female. Male and female. Not male and male. Not female and female, but male and female. Amen. I can't repeat. All right. I need to be a faithful witness. I can't get it wrong. Okay, thank you. So we too must be prepared to be like the faithful witness, Jesus Christ. Because many will want to infiltrate us, the body of Christ, and would want to tell us that we are married, although we are both males. And so I come to the church and you must accept me as a married couple. But like Jesus Christ, male and female, just as there was Adam and Eve. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. You know, a common thing that critics do today is to laugh at the concept of the universal flood. What foolishness is this? How could the whole world and the whole earth be covered in water? And they'll try to tell us that, you know, science does not support this at all. But that's not so. In fact, it's interesting that the scientists in the church, when they take these critics to task, they prove over and abundantly that the flood was a reality just by the fossils and so forth that exist. You know, but that's another lesson. But Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 37 following, joined in. It's almost like he's stamping his approval on these things that are sort of bothering us even today. In his sojourn here, he tackled this very thing. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, it reads,
"But as the days of Noah were."
So as in the days of Noah,
"so shall be the coming of the Son of Man."
So shall be the coming of the Son. That's it.
"For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage."
All right.
Until the day.
Yeah, all right. We can pause there, because the sole point I want to make out of this, even though there's some more we could say, the sole point I want to make out of this is that Jesus Christ endorsed the scripture. It endorsed the fact that there was a time when there was a great flood in the days of Noah. And so critics today would want to laugh and say, "What that you believe? You know, that there was a time when, you know, the whole earth was covered in water. That's impossible." But Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, joined in and said, "That is not an Old Testament myth. That is in fact so. And you can trust me. You can depend on me." Why? I am the faithful witness. And like Christ, we should be able to refer to scripture and say and declare that this is so. We are backative. We have a witness. We can go to court and win because we have a faithful witness. Here's another thing that people tend to laugh. It might seem mythical. So we know the story, Luke chapter 17, 32, you can hold it. We know the story, you know, Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God helped them to get out. He, his wife, and his daughters. And then she turned back. She looked back. And she became a pillar of salt. This almost sounds like a myth. You know, it sounds like one of those stories that you read of when you're growing up as a child. You know, I should have refreshed myself on this. You know, those stories like when this man, he had the magic hand and everything he touched became gold. Yeah. It comes like one of those stories. She turned back and she turned a pillar of salt. What kind of fairy tale Bible is on all this? Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, joined in and said that this was a reality. Luke 17, 32.
Remember Lot's wife?
Remember Lot's wife? What happened to Lot's wife? Read.
"Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it."
Yes, read.
"And whoever shall lose his life shall preserve it."
Read.
"I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and the other one shall be taken, and the other shall be left."
You can't stop there, because that thing carried me down. Now, worse, but it start with Adam and Eve. I might just get away, all right? But the idea here is that we have to be careful. And there's a lesson in this for us too, you know. Let us be careful about how we hold on and want the material things of this life. Here, Lot and his wife and his daughters were being guided out of evil, out of the pleasures of life. But she looked back. She turned back. I want to encourage all of us here, all of us hearing my voice, who are on this sojourn with God. For some of us, we are on this sojourn as a family. For us, we are on this sojourn away from the sinfulness of the world by ourselves. My encouragement to you, even as I take it as my own, let us never look back. Let us never turn back. Let us keep our eyes fixed on the cross, on Jesus Christ. As much as the allurement of this world is around us, young people, there are many young brothers and sisters in this congregation. There are things that will be pulling us to look back. But let us keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ so that we can be salt in the right way and not become pillars of salt destroyed because we have looked back. Speaking of having a focus, looking steadfastly at Jesus Christ, this is another thing that critics laugh at us. I would point to, you know, in respect to the brazen servant that typifies Jesus Christ. And they say, snake bite you, and you go look at a snake, and you get healed. What foolishness is that? John chapter 3, 14 and 15. What they would not realize is that serpent represented Jesus Christ. And if anyone is hearing me, and you are not yet a member of the church of Christ, if you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'm encouraging you to keep your eyes or set your affection on Jesus Christ. That you ought to look to Jesus Christ to be saved. John chapter 3, verse 14.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the
wilderness.
Lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Same way Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up, or he was lifted up.
That whosoever believeth in him
should not perish.
But have everlasting life.
So that serpent existed. That serpent represented Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, you know, at this time it didn't happen. He says, the same way Moses lifted up this serpent, that's the same way Jesus Christ would be lifted up, referring to him being hung on the cross. Jesus Christ would have had to suffer so that we can live. Because when these persons believed, it meant that they also obeyed repentance, confession, baptism. Leprosy. The critics will say, what type of foolishness is this about Naaman? Have leprosy, and you go dip him in water 7 times, and the leprosy go away. You know, it would come like some of these things that you hear about corona. Okay? Oh, you just need to get some salt and water and sip it, and you deal with the corona. You know, you hear all kind of concoction, right? But really, we don't really know the cure yet, but you can build up your immune system and things, but it don't get rid of the corona like that. You know, so person will be reasoning and saying, I you know, we have all kind of different things, you know, that people tell you can heal things, and then there's natural medicine, all right. You know, I was jokingly saying that I need to teach a particular sister how to private reply, all right, in WhatsApp, and then Latoya said, "No man, it's probably a good thing she never private reply because." See, your sinus thing, ACOP, you probably need to get it too. All right? Jack something or another, mix up. All right? But I think my thoughts stray a little. Let me come back around to Naaman. The critics will be saying that Naaman's leprosy could not be healed by dipping in some water 7 times. Because that was so, every time people now have leprosy, everybody just go dip in water. So this must have been a myth. What foolishness is this? But here Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 4 and verse 27 is saying, "I am the faithful witness." And so he's joining in saying, what may seem foolishness to you is God's wisdom. Because it is not so much what you have done, but that you have been obedient to the command of Jesus Christ and to God. And so Jesus Christ, as he expects us today to do in his day, defended faithfully the truth of the scripture. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 27, it says,
"And many lepers were in Israel."
And many lepers were
in Israel in the
were
time
in Israel.
Of Elias.
That's
prophet.
Elijah, yeah.
"And none of them was cleansed."
And saving, none of them were cleansed.
Saving Nahum.
Except for Naaman
the Syrian.
Who was a Syrian. So Jesus Christ is saying, if you want to laugh at scripture and say this is not possible, the faithful witness Jesus Christ is joining in and saying, this is scripture. This is truth. Where am I going? We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, as he rightly divides the word of truth. We have to prepare if we are going to say that we are faithful witnesses of Christ. We have to be prepared. We have to study so that we can too defend the scripture. We can declare truths of scripture, and we should not shy away from the skeptics. We should not shy away from the critics, because every word of God can be defended because it is true. And just because Christ the faithful witness says so, it is so. We don't need to second guess. But guess what? We still should prepare ourselves, because we can't just be going around and say, well, the Bible says it so. Yeah, that is true. But let us search the scripture. Let us study the scripture so that we can defend the truth. So it makes sense. But rest assured that we can develop the confidence. We can go with boldness. Why? The faithful witness, Jesus Christ, also supported this truth. And it's almost like Christ is saying, hey, I am declaring these things because I know that in 2020, critics are going to be hitting at these same things. But be assured that these things are true. Be prepared to defend it. Can I bring it home as I try to close the lesson? Just as Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, defended the truth as little Christs, as Christians, as persons who seek to be Christ-like, we too must be ready and prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks us a reason concerning the faith that is within us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And so, we don't only find ourselves dealing with what critics throw out and have been throwing out through centuries, from the time of Christ coming right up. But we should be prepared to speak to the critics, to the skeptics, who will tell us that there ought to be instruments in worship. How can you, in this age and time, and knowing the melody that an instrument can bring? Wasn't it just a few months ago, you know, a faithful brother in Christ was able to serenade us with the playing of, what was that instrument? The keyboard. But that's not worship. Instruments are nice. Instrumentals are nice, soothing to the spirit. But when it comes to worship, the Bible tells us that we should praise God with the fruits of our lips. Not the keyboard, not the piano, not the guitar. Singing and making melody in your hearts. We must be ready to give an answer. Just as the faithful witness Jesus Christ was prepared to give an answer. That baptism is essential to baptism, to salvation. Baptism is essential to our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us that baptism doth also now save us. So the critics, the skeptics who will say, what is in the water? All you need to do is to believe. But baptism doth also save us. It saves us. And for those of us who have not yet obeyed the gospel, there's a timeline. There's a time referred in that passage. Baptism doth also now save us. And so now is the time. But when people come with these oppositions, we, like Jesus Christ, when he was confronted with these things, need to be ready to give an answer. To give an answer. Another challenge that we see brewing and coming in the church and around us is women's place and role in the church. And people will laugh and ridicule and say, in this year modern time, with the brilliancy of women, and I'm here to tell you that we have brilliant women, intellects, but the role of the woman in the church has nothing to do with intellectual prowess and know-how and height, but has to do with the role that she has to play. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 11. If we read that quickly.
Let the woman learn in silence.
Learn in silence.
With all subjection.
With all subjection.
But I suffer not a woman to teach.
I suffer not a woman
to teach.
To teach.
Nor to usurp authority.
Authority.
Over the man.
Over the man. That's just the point. So it is not a matter that she cannot, does not have the ability, but she ought not to, because that is the role. We must be ready to give an answer. Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, taught. He was faithful in his teachings. So too we, as little Christians, as little Christs, as followers of Christ, need to be faithful witnesses. The one true church. You mean not just Uno alone? The hundreds and hundreds of churches that exist, or just the Church of Christ alone? One church. Then we must be prepared to answer that. You know, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock, upon this truth, I will build my churches. Or church. A one dege church, guys, build. We'll go. One alone. Not even two. Upon this rock I will build my church. So we must be ready to give an answer. We must be ready to teach and to defend the truth of Scripture. Just as Christ, the faithful witness, was faithful in his teaching, so too we should be faithful in our teaching. When we get back to this lesson, we're going to come back to the fact that Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, was faithful in his manner of life. And as Christians, we too should be faithful in our manner of life. But the lesson is yours. We will invite the song leader to come with a song of encouragement. And today is as good a day as any to make a change. If we recognize that we have not been witnesses in a faithful way in defending, teaching, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. But we have the assurance we can grow to be bold and confident. Why? We have a faithful witness in Jesus Christ. And he says, you can depend on me, because I have only declared or spoken about things that I have heard, that I have seen, and that I know.